Your name?
Meredith Abbey.
What brings you to the SOA Watch School of the Americas Watch?
Well, I've been coming off and on to the SOA Watch protests since 2000. I started coming to protest U.S. military to Colombia. I've done a lot of solidarity work around Latin America since I was in college, and so this was a natural place to come and say no to U.S. militarism in Latin America. But this year, I am here working on my own defense. I'm a target of FBI investigation, and I'm here at the SOA to talk to other peace and international solidarity activists about building a broad front against political repression here in the United States.
Talk about the morning of September 24th, 2010, and what happened to you.
On September 24th, 2010, at 7 in the morning, about 8 FBI agents and one Minneapolis police officer showed up at my home, and they had a really loud knock, and I answered the door, and they came, you know, barging in, and they shoved a warrant in my face and said, "We're here to look for material support for terrorism. Will you help us find any?" And I was like, "No." I quickly negotiated with them that they would let my daughter remain sleeping because I wanted to get her out of the house, and they wanted me to stay in the living room and to not leave the living room while they searched my house. And I wanted, I thought it'd be easier if my daughter was asleep. She was 18 months. Then when she woke up, I got to go to her crib and get her out. But I had to, you know, actually get, you know, supervised by a Minneapolis police officer to do things like change my daughter's diaper and like get her dressed in the morning. It was like I was a prisoner in my own home. Eventually I got her out of the house. They went through everything. And they took boxes and boxes of political materials. I've been politically active since 1994, so that's a lot of stuff. And, you know, they took, you know, interestingly enough, sign-up sheets from the School of the Americas, you know, and they took sign-up sheets from the Anti-War Committee. They took flyers. They took political pamphlets, political books. You know, they took basically the things they took from, and they took my computer, my phone. But basically what they took from my house is evidence of my political opinions and the political opinions of other people that I work with, which I don't think should be a crime. And I also received a grand jury subpoena on that day and found out that there was a grand jury that had been started in Chicago that was looking into us for material support for terrorism. 23 people nationally now have been subpoenaed to go and testify to the secret grand jury in Chicago, and all 23 of us have refused to cooperate, have refused to participate in this grand jury, I would say, witch hunt into the anti-war movement.
One of those 23 is Joe Yosbaker, and I had a chance to speak with him shortly after it happened. He appeared on Democracy Now! And I recall him telling Amy Goodman that when the police showed up, he said to his wife, "Well, honey, here comes the thought police," was his thinking.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the types of things they took from my house, I mean, it really is like the thought police. You know, there's no smoking gun. There's no evidence of material support for terrorism that they took from my house. What they took from my house is evidence of the fact that I have done political organizing since 1994, is evidence of the fact that I have worked to try to change U.S. foreign policy, is evidence of the fact that other people have agreed with me. You know, that's not evidence of a crime. You know, the warrant for my house specifically said they were looking for evidence of how I quote-unquote indoctrinate people into joining the anti-war committee. Well, that's just messed up. Like, that should be protected, First Amendment legally protected activity. You know, people don't need to be indoctrinated to think that the war on Afghanistan is wrong, or that the war on Iraq is wrong, or the U.S. military to places like Colombia and Israel is wrong. You just need to be a critical thinker to think that those things are messed up. You don't have to be indoctrinated. But that was literally on the warrant. And part of the problem is under the Patriot Act, you know, basically, judges will give the FBI warrants to search for whatever they want because they've been given complete discretion to do whatever they want in the name of, quote unquote, you know, protecting us from terrorists.
One of the things that the folks who were rounded up on September 24th have in common is, as you said, anti-war activism. And if that is part of the reason or the reason that the government is coming out after you, first of all, it speaks to maybe a vulnerability about the policies being defended. But take a second to describe the policies that you oppose?
Well, I think there's a couple things that we have in common that people who've been subpoenaed. Like, we are all anti-war activists or have worked as international solidarity activists, particularly around the countries of Colombia and with the Palestinian people. Many of us organized in the Coalition to March on the RNC and Stop the War in 2008 in St. Paul. The types of policy, and many of us are also socialists. Together, you know, we have done a lot of work trying to, you know, advocate for, you know, as people on the Occupy Wall Street are talking about, the 99%. You know, we've been very critical of the 1% and very critical of the role that our government has played in promoting an agenda for the wealthy at the expense of the many, you know, and whether or not that's in our country or whether or not that's in other countries across the globe. You know, we've worked very hard in multiple arenas to try to advocate for money for human needs and not for war. And I don't think that that, again, should be a crime or should be criminalized.
Where does your case stand now?
No one who is subpoenaed has agreed to testify, and so we are, you know, and no one has been indicted, so no one has actually been charged out of this case, but the prosecutors have been very clear that they are not done with us, and so we are basically in a situation where we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, at any day, they could show back up at my house at 7 in the morning and take me with them and hold me, you know, for, you know, some people who are accused of material support for terrorism cases, you know, could get held for years. What we're hoping is that if we are indicted, that we would be released relatively quickly. We've worked hard to put together letters of reference and character from publicly elected officials and, you know, people in our community to say that we have ties and plan on staying and defending ourselves and aren't flight risks. But we, you know, they could show up at any time and, you know, and say that we've been charged with a crime, and then a trial process could start. But as of right now, you know, no one is in jail for refusing to testify. I credit that to the movement that we've helped build nationally to try to oppose this grand jury investigation. One of the things that has happened is that there are charges that have been filed against Carlos Montes, who is an activist who worked with us on the coalition to the Coalition to March on the RNC and Stop the War. He is a longtime Chicano rights activist from the Los Angeles area, and he was also an organization called Latinos Against War. And he has done organizing since the 60s. You know, he helped organize the protest, the largest Chicano protest against the war in Vietnam, the Chicano Moratorium protest. And he had his home raided by the FBI May 12th, and they're charging him with these trumped-up charges on, you know, illegal weapons owning. But when they put him in the car, they didn't want to ask him about the weapons. They wanted to ask him about our case, you know. And so we definitely see Carlos's case as tied to our case because we believe that the reason why he's pursued, and the sheriff's department in L.A. has agreed, the reason why they pursued him was because the FBI said, hey, go after this guy. And we believe the reason why he got the FBI's attention was because he was connected to us. And so none of us currently have charges, but that could change at any time. But Carlos is currently facing charges. And so we at the Committee to Stop FBI Repression are also working on Carlos's case.
What has this been like personally? And can you talk about the decision to go public rather than to deal with this privately?
Well, dealing with it privately wouldn't be very helpful because the fact is the precedents in this area of law are horrible. I mean, the United States federal government has locked up people for basically doing nothing. I mean, and also, like, the Palestinian, Arab, Muslim, and Somali community has been under attack in this country, particularly since September 11th. And these terrorism charges have been used to really go after communities, to demonize them at home, to justify these wars abroad. And so if you look at the precedents that have been set on the books, material support for terrorism can be defined, according to the Supreme Court, as almost anything. I mean, so going, being quiet isn't going to help us, because the fact is that, you know, the law is not written in a way that is actually very helpful. And so really having, you know, a public fight that's in the, you know, that's in the battle of public opinion is something that is far easier for us to wage. Additionally, being quiet to me sends a message to people that I'm guilty. I haven't done anything wrong. I've advocated for justice and for peace in places like Colombia and Iraq and Palestine and Afghanistan. That's not a crime. And if that is a crime, it's certainly, you know, the real problem is the fact that that's a crime, not that I did it. And so being quiet wouldn't be helpful in that regard. And as you can see from the Occupy Wall Street movement and the repression that they faced, that what you should do in the face of political repression is get back up and stand up for yourself and stand up for your message. What you shouldn't do is back down. That's going to make it that much harder to get back up some other time that something else happens that you feel like is an injustice.
And personally, what has it been like for you from that moment they, you know, busted into your apartment or house when you have just you and your young child?
My daughter's 2.5. She's going to be 3 in March. And I, you know, obviously would really like to raise her. You know, I didn't have a daughter with the intention of, you know, having her be, you know, only have one parent. You know, our intention was for her to have 2 parents, you know. I don't have any memories from 2.5. You know, so I really very much want to be, I want to raise my daughter. I want her to have memories of me. You can't parent from prison, you know. Like, you can be a pen pal, but you can't be a parent. And I very much want to be a parent to my daughter. And so, that has been really difficult. Out of the 23 activists who've been subpoenaed, 12 of us are parents. And together we have 7 children under the age of 7. You know, so we have a lot of young kids that are affected. Out of the people who are parents, there are 3 couples where both parents have been subpoenaed, where they've had to make custody arrangements so that if both of them were taken and given time for refusing to testify, that somebody else could raise their kid. You know, I mean, this has been hard on people personally. You know, people have families to raise. People had to make tough choices. But we also, at the end of the day, want a better world for our children, and also want to, you know, have our children grow up to become strong people who believe in things, you know, as opposed, and having parents that are weak and having parents that don't stand up for what they believe in is not going to be something that's going to help your kids turn out to be the type of people that you want them to be.
Talk about the committee to stop FBI repression, and also who is overseeing this from the FBI to the other agencies that are spying on Americans and going after, disproportionately going after activists, it seems.
Well, the Committee to Stop FBI Repression is a national network that is working on, you know, these cases. And people across the country have, you know, signed on to the national committee, and people have sent solidarity statements. People have held events. People have held, you know, speaking events, because we've been touring activists from the 23 subpoenaed activists. And the Committee to Stop FBI Repression has been targeting 2 people. One is President Obama. You know, obviously this is happening on his watch. You know, this is not something he can say, oh, that's the Bush administration. No, this is happening on his watch. This is his FBI, his Justice Department that is doing this. And very much that, you know, this criminalization of dissent is happening in part because of his leadership. Eric Holder is also a target of the Committee to Stop FBI Repression because he is, at the end of the day, in charge of the FBI. And he has the, you know, as in charge of the Justice Department, he has, has the ability to say, yes, we are going to prosecute this case. No, we're not going to prosecute this case. And both Obama and Holder are politicians, and they make decisions like politicians. You know, they're going to make decisions that at the end of the day will help get them elected. And so that is why it's very important for people to call the president, to call Eric Holder. And their contact information you could find at our website at stopfbi.net. .net, because we need to send a message which says, no, they, you know, solidarity and dissent are not crimes, and they shouldn't be criminalized, and they shouldn't be targeted by the FBI.
I remember I'm talking to Joe Yosbaker. That was, he was in Chicago. A number of activists in Chicago, where Obama is from, were rounded up on that that day, September 24th, 2010.
Yeah, activists. The activists who've been subpoenaed are from, you know, Michigan and from Chicago and from Minneapolis, and we very much feel like Obama expects the left in this country and the progressive movements in this country to back him, particularly in his reelection campaign. And we think that this gives us an opportunity to push back and say, no, you can't expect us to help you stay in office. You are not better if this is what you're going to do, if you are going to go after, you know, people who are organizing for peace and to criminalize our activity.
Meredith Abbey, any final thoughts you want to share as we talk here at School of the Americas Watch?
Just that I think it is now more important than ever for people to stand up and say that they believe that we can do better than what we're being offered right now. I have been really inspired by the Occupy Wall Street movement that has spread across this country, and I think that it is really important for people to defend their local occupations and to continue to resist and to stand up for the right to organize. And I think that people are doing that at places like Oakland and New York and, you know, across this country. And I think that every time people refuse to back down, I think that's a victory. And so I'm happy to keep organizing and fighting, and I hope other people will continue to do that across the country with me.
Thanks so much.
You bet.